ॐ नमो श्रोताव्यादिनी राजेन्द्र नीरनाम संति सहस्रशा अभाष्यताम आत्मतत्वं गृहेषु गृहमेधिनाम। Those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subjects for hearing in human society, O Emperor. We are reading this afternoon from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Srila Shukadeva Goswami is beginning his narration to Maharaj Parikshit. Shukadeva Goswami addresses Parikshit Maharaj as Rajendra. Indra means the best, and Raja means king. Maharaj Parikshit is the best of all kings. Why? Because he is establishing through his life the highest principles of a true leader of society. Human life is meant for self-realization. Tapo divyam putri kriyena satvam sudyedyasa brahma sokyam tvanantam. The real joy of life comes through awakening our original dormant Krishna consciousness. And those subject matters, when we speak and hear, that help to increase our enthusiasm, our longing to be purified devotees of the Lord, those subject matters are for the ultimate benefit of all living beings. But those subject matters with which further infatuate us with material conceptions, which cause us to be more oriented toward the temporary pleasures of the senses, they should always be avoided by sincere seekers of the truth. Srila Shukadeva Goswami explains what is a griha medhi. A griha medhi is a person who lives at home, who is thinking in terms of how to arrange their living conditions very nicely, to establish, protect, and develop a nice house, to give nice clothing to one's wife and children, decorate them with nice jewelry, to give children a very good education. This is called griha medhi life. Because we become so infatuated with the temporary relationships of this world, we become so much attached to trying to make our material living conditions better, that we waste moment after moment after moment the purpose of life. And therefore, we hear about those things and we discuss those things which will improve our material existence. Griha medhi literally means a life of jealousy. Why? Because to the degree we are attached to hearing and speaking about those things which improve our material condition of life, naturally we become jealous of others. who are somehow or other either interfering with our sense enjoyment or who are surpassing us in their standard of living. And therefore, there is so much competition in this world. It is such a competitive world. Jiva jiva sa jivanam. In the animal civilization, one living being is the food for a stronger living being. Of course, human beings, they are eating all the lower animals, those who are uncivilized, who are bereft of God consciousness. But amongst human existence, amongst themselves, people are always trying to challenge and suppress and exploit those who are weaker. This is competition. Competition is the animal propensity of jiva jiva sa jivanam. In the Western world, businesses at one time were just simple family businesses. Everyone had their own little trade, and they would produce something, and they would sell something, and they would all barter with one another. I'll give you what we make if you give us what you make. And in this way, it was a simple society, and people were somewhat harmonious. And everyone was employed, and basically there was no problem with the economy at all. But as time went on, some people became richer and richer, had more and more wealth. And the more wealth you have, if you are in material consciousness, the more you want, and therefore you have to exploit those and destroy those who have less, and compete and destroy those who have equal or more. It's a ruthless world. So people would conquer their equals. They would have such big. Now, in America, you practically don't see any family-owned stores. There's only these huge, gigantic, national chain stores owned by a few people, and because they produce so much and because they could buy in such quantity, they can sell much cheaper than the local people. They put all the local people out of business, and all the local people have to surrender to them and work for them, be employed by them. And in this way, people's creativity is just being defeated. The strong eating, exploiting those who are weaker. And we find this, just the animalistic behavior of children. The stronger always wants to beat on the weaker, whether in schools or in the family. And as they grow up, they just become terrible. And then nations, powerful nations with the most biggest armies and biggest bombs, they exploit those weaker nations. We see throughout history so many world wars. And what is these world wars? One nation is more powerful than the other. They subjugate, they exploit, they destroy. Jiva jiva sa jivanam. Because everyone is envious of one another. So those who do not utilize their time to discuss Krishna conscious topics and pursue a Krishna conscious lifestyle, who are simply interested in trying to make a better arrangement for their families, are simply Grihamedis. They are spoiling their human existence. Grihamedis may be in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. In the goodness, they don't want to hurt others so much. They may be charitable. They may be kind and nice in their mannerisms and gentle. In the mode of passion, they are very much just working, foaming at the mouth, trying to somehow or other survive and get more and more and more. In the mode of ignorance, addicted within their family lives to intoxications, cruel behavior, meat eating, and so forth. But whether in goodness, passion, or ignorance, they are all grihamedis. They are all uncivilized human beings. Unless they are utilizing their time to hear and chant those topics which help to awaken their original spiritual consciousness. Atma-tattvam. Atma-tattva means to understand the truth of the soul. The soul is part of God. The soul is transcendental. The soul should be liberated from the clutches of material enjoyments. Srila Prabhupada explained that he wanted all of his disciples to be Goswamis. Goswami means one who utilizes his senses in the service of the Lord. And Godas means one who utilizes his senses for sense gratification, whether it be in goodness, passion, or ignorance. Goswami is not a hereditary title. Here in India, if people are born in a particular family, they are honored and respected as Goswami. But according to the Shastra, a real Goswami is one who is always engaged in Krishna consciousness. The senses, due to their conditionings in this world, are always hungry after material enjoyment. But we must purify our senses. And that comes by the willingness to say no. Desires come through the senses into the mind. And a human being is one who is willing to say no. Tapo divyam putra kayena satvam. Tapasya simply means say no to what is unfavorable to your spiritual advancement and say yes to what is favorable. That is tapasya. And that is what human life is meant for. Tapasya. So we are in a situation where our mind and our senses are so much influenced by the environment that so many desires arise. Do we surrender to those desires or do we fight against those desires? The Bhagavad Gita was spoken on a battlefield. And ultimately, beyond the historical incident of the Gita, the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna was also teaching us how to fight the battle within our own minds. The Kurus are on one side, dictating us to engage in so many materialistic pursuits. And Krishna is on the other side, telling us, no, who will we listen to? We want to eat anything. But Krishna says, no, only eat those pure foods offered to Krishna as prasad, nothing else, ever. When we are willing to say no, we are Goswamis. The eyes and the mind become attracted to beautiful objects which create illicit thoughts. Goswami, when those thoughts come, he says, no. I will fix my eyes on the beautiful form of the deities. I will fix my mind on the beautiful sound of Krishna's holy name. Mind and the senses, they want to turn on the television set. We have seen in the newspapers, we have seen on the billboards, very good show tonight. I will enjoy. The mind is saying, yes, yes, this will be very nice. No one will know. The Vaishnavas, they will never know. Just turn it on and enjoy. After all, you've chanted all your rounds today, and you've read Srimad Bhagavatam. You might have even gone to Mangal Arati today, so you're protected. Little balance in life is healthy. After all, if you lose touch with the material world too much, how will you preach? So in this way, it's actually a service to my Guru Maharaj. The Vaishnavas may not understand, and even my Guru Maharaj may not understand. Even Krishna may not understand, but I understand. This is actually a very nice service, and no one will ever know. So in this way, the temptation is there to lose ourselves in hearing those materialistic topics, which just draw our minds away from Krishna. Godas means, yes, turn on the television set. Goswami means, no, I will not. It is not in any way conducive to my spiritual life. And we have a tendency to talk. Rupa Goswami explains that there are six pushings of the tendency to speak, the tendency to taste foodstuffs, the pushings of the mind, the pushings of the belly, wanting more and more and more food, the pushings of anger, the tendency when our material senses are frustrated and our mind is frustrated, we just want to lash out against anyone who stands in our way. And those pushings of our sexual tendencies. One who is willing to say no to these tendencies is a Goswami. And one who gives in to it is Godas. The tendency to speak is very, very strong. In fact, Thakur Bhaktivinoda said, if you can just control the tongue, you will become Krishna conscious. Because we want to speak anything, everything, so many things. We want to speak about politics. We want to speak about ourselves, how nice we are, how humble we are. We want to somehow or other establish a good image in the minds of others through our speech. We want to criticize others. These tendencies of envy within our heart are so strong, and this is the first way they come out. The desire to criticize, to blaspheme. It is very, very dangerous. If we give in to this urge, we are Godas. If we say no to this urge, we are Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami said, who is a real Vaishnava? A Vaishnava who doesn't have any tendency to criticize or find fault in others. That is Vaishnava. The tendency is there. We must control it. We must be willing to say no. In this way, we can be Goswami. Because the idle mind is the devil's workshop. We cannot just continuously say no, 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 no to all the material inclinations of our mind and senses. Sometimes the yogis and the jnanis, they go through this process. And it is a torturous, terrible process. It's not pleasure. There is no ananda at all. And because the soul is seeking ananda, it is just a matter of time till we have to fall down again to material enjoyment. You cannot say no. You cannot repress the very nature of your soul to find pleasure forever. You can do it for so long, and then you have to fall victim. Even the great sage Vishwamitra, after so long, millenniums, he was controlling his senses so severely. But ultimately, that natural propensity of the soul to enjoy overcame him through the power of Maya. So Krishna consciousness means Saravopadiva Nirmuktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchyate. To keep our minds always engaged in partnership with the senses in the service of the Lord. Nirmalam, we become purified. So when we chant the glories of the Lord and His devotees, when we come to the temple and see the beautiful form of the Lord, when we engage in these nine processes headed by hearing and chanting, our mind and senses become satisfied. Param drisvani varatate. But simultaneously, we must continuously say no to those lesser urges until anartha nivritti shat, until they are completely cleansed from our heart through the process of bhakti. Narottam Das Thakur has prayed, Griheva vanete dhake, Hagoranga boli dhake, Narottama magi thara sangha. This means, whether one is a grihastha or one is in the renounced order as a brahmachari or sannyasi, if those people are constantly engaged in chanting the names of Gauranga, remembering and serving Gauranga, he said, I am aspiring to always keep their company. I am longing for their association. So it does not matter whether we are brahmacharis, grihastas, vanaprastas, or sannyasis. Prabhupada expected all of his followers to be Goswamis. By keeping Atma Tattva, the topic of Krishna consciousness, always foremost amongst us. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they established in the highest sense the perfection of that type of life. None of them were hereditary Goswamis. Raghunath Das was from Kayasta community, which in some places are considered Shudras, in some Vaishyas and some Kshatriyas. But he was the Prayojana Acharya of the highest principles because of his qualities. Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, although born in very high Brahmin families, due to their activities, they were completely rejected by the Hindu community because they became servants of Malechas and Yavanas. But these souls, after coming in contact with Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and following his principles, they are worshipped and respected as the ultimate examples of Goswamis for the whole world to follow. It really makes no difference what we have done in the past. And in Vaishnava society, we should never judge a person by what that person has done before he has come to Krishna consciousness. We should simply see the quality of their sincerity for devotional service now. This is a very important principle. To consider a Vaishnava, or to categorize them according to their previous conditions of life before taking to the mercy of Lord Gauranga, is actually an offense. It is said in the Shastra that one who sees the deity as a piece of stone or wood, one who thinks the guru to be an ordinary person, or one who categorizes a Vaishnava according to any previous considerations of his life, his caste, his previous activities, he is Naraka Buddhi. He is a mentality that is fit to go to hell. Jagai and Madhai They were the worst possible sinners. Murderers, rapists, drunkards, constantly sucking blood and eating flesh. They were terrible people. But after they took to the Krishna consciousness movement, they are worshipped as great Vaishnavas. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned his followers, never think that anything of their past has anything to do with their present life. And when Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world and he brought some of his Western followers to India, he very much preached so strongly. He said, these boys and girls, what they did in the past, so many things. He says, but they are sincerely chanting the holy names. They are sincerely giving up sinful activities. He said, even his grihasthas were far superior, according to the Shastra conclusions, than even big famous Mayavadi sannyasis who were not engaged in the service of the Lord. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they very much fought against these material conceptions of a Vaishnava. In those days, especially in Bengal, and actually all over India, the caste Brahmins by birth very much considered that they had the superior position in society. And everyone had to approach God via medium through them. And if you were not born as a Brahmin and followed all the proper samskaras of the Brahmin from birth, then you cannot be qualified. And Vaishnavas who do not have such a birth, we cannot take them seriously. Maybe they're chanting Hari Ram, Hari Krishna. But because they do not have the proper birthright and samskaras, we cannot consider them really Brahmins. You can cover an onion, but still the scent will come out. So many examples they use. So the Vaishnavas were preaching according to Shastra, and it was actually very much disagreement. So the caste Brahmins called for a big debate in Midnapur. And this debate was titled, Who is Superior, the Brahmins or the Vaishnavas? And the biggest, most learned, and highest Brahmins in all of the nation of India were invited to present their arguments. That if you are not born as a Brahmin, you cannot be a Brahmin. You cannot be respected as a Brahmin. And Vaishnav is a material consideration by which one can never achieve the goal of life. And therefore, such Vaishnavas should never be given the opportunity to engage in any type of the responsibilities of a Brahmin, such as yajna or mantra or any of these rituals. So at that time, the chief Vaishnavas all over India were also invited, some from Vrindavan, Radharaman Vaishnavas in Radharaman temple, others from Gaya, from Navadvip. But they were thinking, the only one who has the power to defend us is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But at that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very sick. He had high fever, he was very old, he was bedridden, he could not possibly. So he told his son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, He said, you are the one who will establish the supreme position of the Vaishnavas in the world. So he went, and all the topmost Vaishnavas of India, they all said to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, on our behalf, you go forward and debate. So first all of the caste Brahmins spoke, and they were just speaking so much derogatory words against Vaishnavas. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati got up, and he began to quote so many nice scriptures about the glories of Brahmins. And all of the Brahmins there, they were very happy. They were thinking, yes, yes, he's very good. He's glorifying us so nicely. Srila Prabhupada told us, this is how you have to preach to people who are too much puffed up. You say, oh, you are so learned, and you are so wise, and you are so charitable, and you are so good, and you are so famous, and the person becomes very happy with you. And then after saying all these things, then you say, but because you are not a devotee, you have simply wasted your life. And then they listen. They think, they already become submissive. So when you come to the truth, somehow or other they can hear. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was glorifying so nicely Brahmins for several hours. He was just quoting sloka after sloka after sloka about the glories of Brahmins. And everyone was very happy. And then he began to explain how a real Brahmin can only be a true Brahmin if he is a Vaishnava. And even if a person is has engaged in the worst sinful activities, even if he was a dog eater of the lowest untouchable class, if he's chanting the holy names of the Lord and living according to the regulative principles of spiritual life, he is topmost Brahman. That person can be the guru for the whole world and deliver everyone. But a Brahman who is not surrendered to Krishna cannot even deliver himself, what to speak of others. And then he went on for hours and hours and hours describing the glories of Vaishnavas. And there was nothing that anyone could say. And there were thousands of people who assembled there. The dignity of Vaishnavism was completely at stake. If they would have lost this debate, Vaishnavism would be completely finished as far as any respectability or integrity. And if they won, then the truth would be revealed. It was actually a very milestone in religious history. So when Bhakti Siddhanta finished speaking, one by one, the caste Brahmins, they either surrendered to his teachings or they very quietly, secretly left the place, because they knew they could not even show their face before him, because he was right. He spoke the truth. And when the truth shines like the sun, darkness cannot stand before. And the thousands and thousands of people there, they all began to applaud the glories of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's conclusions. In fact, everyone was just lining up to touch his feet. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati did not allow people to touch his feet. He didn't like. So the people were demanding the dust from his feet. So what the person who coordinated this affair was thinking what to do. So he washed Bhakti Siddhanta's feet, and then he sprinkled the water on everyone's heads, and they were very happy to show respect to this great soul. So whatever our situation may have been, or what another person's situation may have been in the past, is not to be considered. The only thing we consider in Vaishnav society is how one is sincerely endeavoring to be Krishna conscious. how one is following the four regulative principles, how one is chanting the holy names of Krishna, how one is serving the Lord, Guru, and the Vaishnavas. If one is engaged in this process very nicely, whether they are grihasthas, vanaprasthas, brahmacharis, or sannyasis, we should treat them as Goswami. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally followed this principle. There is a beautiful story of how each year the devotees from Bengal would come to Jagannath Puri to celebrate the Rath Yatra with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they went long, long way. Shivananda Singh, he would make the arrangements, serving all the Vaishnavas. Even though he was such an advanced devotee, very, very dignified person, he loved to serve devotees. And he did not discriminate what type of devotee. He loved to serve all devotees. So whatever he had, he would somehow, this long journey of walking from Navadvip to Puri, it takes many, many days, some weeks actually. And during this time, he would arrange accommodations, he would arrange prasad, he would make everything so comfortable for all the devotees. And one time a dog joined them. And this dog liked to eat prasad. So Shivananda Sen considered, he is a Vaishnav. He's amongst us. He's hearing the chanting, he's hearing the katha, he's eating prasad, he does not go away. So he respected him. And he would personally arrange for him to eat every day. And one time he had to go ahead to pay tolls. In those days, India, there were so many terrible government conditions, where you had to bribe the toll collectors just to get by from one border to another. Prabhupada said, they are the real dogs. Prabhupada often, so many times in his lectures, when he would talk about dogs, he would like to remember the immigration officers between nations. Because Prabhupada, he traveled around the world over 12 times between 1965 and 1977. So in his preaching, he was constantly going from one country to another, to another, to another. And even though he was Krishna's representative, the representative of God, whenever he would come to a nation, he would have to go through customs and immigrations. And some places, they would not allow him in the country. For one reason or another. They're just like dogs. They are so possessive. When they're living in a master's home, they're thinking, this is my home. The dog is not thinking that he's protecting the master's home. The dog thinks, this is my home, and no one has a right to come here. And if anybody even walks by, and what are they saying? Go away, go away. You cannot come here. This is mine. So Prabhupada said, you go to immigration, and they are like that. You go to their desk. Who are you? What do you want? Why have you come? Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Everything is the property of God. But these people, like dogs, they are thinking that this is my nation, this is my country. Who are you? What do you want? So Shivananda Sen had to deal with those people. But this other dog, he was just very happily hearing kirtan, hearing katha, and eating prasad. So Shivananda Sen said to one of his assistants, I may be gone for some time, make sure you serve this dog nice rice, prasad. But the servant forgot. He was so busy serving all the other devotees. So the dog was gone. Shivananda Sen felt he committed an aparad. He did not consider his birth. He considered his quality, that he liked to be with devotees. That's all. Anyways, when they got to Jagannath Puri, that dog was with Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally giving him food. Coconut, green coconut pulp. And the next day the dog was not there. And Shivananda Sen was wondering, and he discovered that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had sent him back to home, back to Godhead. Because he had received the mercy of a Vaishnava, he was fit to go back home, back to Godhead. Because he was dear to the Lord's devotee, the Lord was specially kind to him. So anyone who is so dear to the Lord's devotees, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I want to worship that person. On another occasion, when all the devotees were traveling from Bengal to Orissa, Jagannath Puri, when they were just coming, they got to Katak. Advaitacharya, he sent a message to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we are just coming. There is a bridge, it is called Atharanala, and that is just at the very border of Jagannath Puri coming in. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his associates came to greet the devotees from Bengal. And who are these devotees? So many great souls. Sri Advaitacharya and his wife Sita. The wives also came on this occasion. And there was Srivas Thakur and his beloved wife Malini. And there was Shivananda Sen, Kolavecha Sridhar, the banana leaf seller, Vakreshwar Pandit, who would dance so jubilantly and beautifully, sometimes for days and days at a time in the Lord's kirtan. And there was Mukunda Dat, who would sing such sweet and wonderful kirtan. And there was Govinda Ghosh and Madhava Ghosh, who were also beautiful, beautiful kirtan singers. And Budhi Manta Khan, who was the Lord's surrendered servant all his life. And there was Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who the Lord declared to be his own father due to his love. And there was Acharya Ratna, in whose house Lord Chaitanya danced in the mood of the goddess of fortune. And there was Haridas Thakur, who was constantly immersed in front of the beautiful form of Tulsi Devi, in chanting the holy names of Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
In this regard, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said that whoever in the presence of Srimati Tulsi Devi, with humility and devotion, chants the holy names of Krishna according to a very, very fixed number every day, he says, that person is my life and soul, and that person, by my mercy, I will definitely take back home, back to Godhead. So all these devotees were coming. And as they were coming, when they reached Atharanala, the bridge, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates from Puri, such as Nityananda Prabhu and Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodara Goswami and Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Govinda, Kashishwar, Kashimishra, so many. And when all the Vaishnavas met, it was such a glorious reunion. They were all literally crying. They were so happy to see each other. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately started offering his dandavat obeisances to the devotees. And all the devotees from Jagannath Puri started offering dandavat obeisances, prostrated obeisances to all the devotees from Bengal. And all the devotees from Bengal offered their dandavat obeisances. One after another, they were just continuously offering dandavat obeisances to one another. Each devotee that each one saw, they would just be offering their obeisances and offering their obeisances. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offering obeisances. Everyone was offering obeisances. There was no consideration who was a sannyasi, who was a grihastha, who was a vanaprastha, who was a brahmachari. They were all Vaishnavas. They were all worshipping, honoring, respecting, and offering obeisances to each other. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the topmost of all sannyasis. It is said that when you take sannyas, the whole society must offer obeisances to you. This is a Vedic principle. If you see a sannyasi, the first time in the day, if you do not offer obeisances, you should fast that day. Otherwise, you have made aparad. This is what is in the Shastra. This is the position of the sannyas in the Varnashram system. And even a father, if his son takes sannyas, it is said the father is meant to offer obeisances to his lotus feet. This is Shastra principle. But here was the topmost of all sannyasis, who also happened to be the Supreme Godhead himself, and he forgot all these principles that I am sannyasi. Naham vi pronacha narapatira napi vaisho na shudro. Gopi Bharatur Padakamaliyora Dasa Dasanu Das. Mahaprabhu spoke it and Mahaprabhu lived it. When he was amongst the Vaishnavas, I am not a sannyasi, I am not brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprast, I am not brahmachachya, vaishya, shudra. These are all temporary designations. The true designation of the soul is Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Dasa Das Anu Das. That we are the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord and His devotees. So Mahaprabhu himself was offering obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. They were all offering obeisances to Him. They were all offering obeisances to one another. Then thousands of garlands were brought from the Jagannath temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to put a garland on each devotee. And with his own hand, he was decorating them with sandalwood pulp. And meanwhile, the whole time through, everyone was just celebrating the opportunity to meet one another by very loudly chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
The name of Krishna was being chanted so enthusiastically, so loud, that in the four directions no one could hear anything except the chanting of the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And all the Vaishnavas began to embrace one another and embrace one another and embrace everyone else. And meanwhile, constantly chanting Krishna's names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And the wives of these devotees, although they were some little distance away, they were so much in ecstasy just to see the loving relationships between Lord Chaitanya and the others. Lord Chaitanya would say about the wives of those devotees, he would say this, he would, that the same respect, the same knowledge and the same devotion of such great souls as Srivasa, Advaita, Shivananda, Sain and others, the wives also possessed those same spiritual characteristics. So he honored them. But as a sannyasi, he honored them in a different way. And they were just completely, the ladies were all completely in ecstatic bliss just to see all the Vaishnavas greeting one another as they were. And they too, very loudly, were crying out Krishna's holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although a sannyasi, he honored and worshipped Advaitacharya, Srivas. Why? Because of their devotion. And Thakur Haridas was untouchable, but the Lord loved him dearly. When Thakur Haridas left this world, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally danced with his body and performed all the funeral rites just to worship his devotee. And Ramananda Rai was also a Shudra by classification. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met him at Vidyanagar on the banks of the river Godavari, he embraced him. He embraced him with such love. And although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already defeated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and the greatest scholars in India and established the highest truths, he was a Brahmin, he was a sannyasi. And when he came before this Grihastha Shudra, who was a politician as well, because of his quality of devotion, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very humbly inquired from him as to what is the goal of life. And through Ramananda Rai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke the highest spiritual topics ever to be revealed to this world, systematically. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Ramananda Rai after this wonderful, wonderful historical conversation on the banks of Godavari, he said, "I cannot live without you. Your talks about Krishna are so sweet and so perfect and so beautiful. I want to hear them for the rest of my life. I cannot live without you. You must give up your government post and you must come to Jagannath Puri, and then throughout the day and night, we could simply be together hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord." So in Vaishnav society, there is only the consideration of the quality of one's sincerity to serve. There is no consideration of birth. There is no consideration of what type of sinful activities or what type of inappropriate actions you may have committed before coming to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. In Vaishnav society, we honor, we respect, and we worship that quality of devotion in every Vaishnava. And whoever is living according to the standard of a Goswami, we respect them as Goswami, whatever their status of life may be. Griheva vineti take he hagoranga bolitako narotama magithara sangha. Narottam Das Thakur, a Nitya Siddha, who descended from the spiritual world, he was also in a family which was not Brahman. But he revealed through his life the highest principles of spiritual conduct and realization. And here he is praying that whatever you may be, griheva vanete take, whether you are living in the forest as a renunciate or living at home with wife and children and job, occupation, he said, ha Gauranga bole take. If you are chanting the name of Gauranga and following the life that Gauranga Mahaprabhu has taught, I want to be in your association. I want to offer my obeisances to you, to serve you, and to always worship you. This is Vaishnav society. And when we create this mood in our homes, when we create this mood in our temple, then we create the true mood of Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. And this is what is required. A Vaishnava is compassionate. He is always trying to be kind to others. Sanatana Goswami, such an example. He was dhira dhira. He was so dear to everyone. because he just wanted to give Krishna to everyone. This is real kindness. People are suffering due to the repetition of birth and death. Real mercy is to give a person the means by which he can stop the repetition of birth and death. And there is no other form of real kindness except that. Mundane philanthropy that ends only in charity is not real mercy at all. Only those things which have its conclusion in the extinguishment of the repetition of birth and death, that is real mercy. That is real kindness, compassion. And this is what the Vaishnavas live by. Sri Sanatana Goswami, when he lived in Vrindavan, he was so kind to everyone. He was so concerned with everyone's spiritual progress. We are reading here today from the Bhagavatam that we should not speak any subject matter that is not fit for human society. Subject matter which induces Krishna consciousness. But Sanatana Goswami, he would inquire from people, how is your wife? How is your son? Have you gotten him married yet? How is your crops growing? How much rice, how much wheat has grown this year? What problems do you have? And usually the problem was husbands and wives fighting. And they don't fight about Krishna. Very rare. Usually they fight about so many domestic, mundane things. And they would come before Sanatana Goswami and say, this is the problem. My wife's saying like this, I'm saying like this. Or sometimes other people's wives are fighting amongst each other. She's saying like this, she's, what do we do? They come before Sanatana Goswami. But he was so dear to all of them, whatever he would say, everyone must accept. He didn't demand respect, he commanded respect. Because they had such genuine conviction that he cares about our real interest in life, whatever he said was the truth, and they would surrender. So they would bring all these topics, and he would discuss them with them. So we may ask, is this Atma Tattva? Yes, it is Atma Tattva. Because Sanatana Goswami, he may have discussed so many things, but it was all ultimately aimed at utilizing whatever resources of theirs in Krishna's service, and ultimately winning their hearts so they would become Krishna's devotees and solve the problem of birth and death. Never for sense gratification. Sanatana Goswami, he would simply cry. He would cry when he would see the condition of fallen souls forgetful of Krishna. His compassion burned in his heart so deeply that he was willing to extend himself in any way to somehow or other raise people's consciousness to Krishna consciousness. This is the standard that all devotees should be striving for. This is Goswami. To be so concerned, to be so busy trying to help others in Krishna consciousness that we do not have time to meet our own material desires for sense gratification. If you're actually engaged properly in Krishna consciousness, even if your mind says, enjoy this, your intelligence will just say, you don't have time. There's too much service to do. There's too many fallen souls in this world for me to try to help, to me to waste this precious moment by enjoying my own senses. This is the standard we should be striving. Whether we are grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, brahmachari, that is not important. This principle is what is important. Trying to help others in Krishna consciousness. Trying to serve. Serving the Vaishnavas, being compassion to the fallen souls, and always chanting the holy names of Krishna. This is the principle of Vaishnava society. Sri Narottam Das Thakur, and Lord Gauranga himself wants to always keep the company of such persons. We should always be longing for the company of such persons. And how do we keep the company? Mahaprabhu has personally exhibited by offering obeisances. Raghunath Das Goswami would offer obeisances. What is it? 2,000? 2,000 Vaishnavas. He would offer his obeisances. This was a regulative principle. Minimum 2,000 times dandavat pranams to Vaishnavas. This is the way the Goswamis lived. So by offering our obeisances, by embracing, by serving, by serving the Vaishnavas, by serving with the Vaishnavas, by taking prasad with the Vaishnavas, by hearing the glories of the Lord with the Vaishnavas, and by having beautiful kirtan with the Vaishnavas. This is what Vaishnava life means, and this is our life and soul. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.